I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Help I Suck at Dating. I'm Jared Haben, joined by the wonderful Vanessa Grimaldi, all the way from Montreal. Mark and Easton are in studio. We have a couple wonderful guests that are in studio right now. One, well, why don't you introduce yourself?
Am I a guest now?
Oh my God, it's been so long, I didn't even recognize you.
Come on the podcast.
Holy crap, Dean is back in studio, which is very exciting. He's finally in Los Angeles, and we have an amazing guest who's sitting right next to me, Blake Hortzman, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
A man who truly needs no introduction at all.
It's nice to have a fellow single person on the podcast.
There we go, yeah. Yeah, you're outnumbered.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my gosh.
You're always outnumbered, 2-1. And then Easton is married, Mark is married.
Oh, wow. And,
come on, Dean.
Poor Dean.
It's nice that we have more numbers on the single side now.
Yeah, but you know what that means. You just got to go back on Paradise.
What are we doing with these?
Sorry.
Let's gang up on Dean. Come on.
No, let's, Blake, we don't have for you too long. But what's going on in your life, Blake? Are you dating anybody?
I am single. I am single right now. Yes, I am. I am dating.
How great is being single?
It's the best. I mean, you married me. Yeah, you know.
Trust me, I live vicariously through Dean now.
The only person you have to worry about is yourself. You don't have to worry about what people are thinking, where other people want you to be at any time, what you're cooking for dinner that night.
Healthy relationships are not supposed to be like that anyway.
Well,
but Blake, I want to ask you, so since you're so close to Jason and he's dating Caitlin, yes. Has Caitlin tried hooking you up with any of her friends?
No, actually, not really.
No?
Now that I think about it, it's kind of bitchy of her.
Yeah,
I'm kind of mad at her.
Yeah,
think about it.
This is ridiculous.
Calling her out.
Have you been? Because she lives in Nashville, right?
Yeah.
So have you visited? And I'm sure Jason's been to Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been out there twice with him, actually, in Nashville. Hanging out with him.
So she's just holding out. She's just not introducing you to any of the friends.
No, you know, I think Jason's actually trying to hook me up with some of her friends, but now I think about it, Caitlin hasn't. What's that about?
Nobody from the Bachelor franchise, huh? She's trying to hook you up with? I'm trying to think of anybody that comes to mind, if I'm being honest.
Would you date anyone in the Bachelor franchise?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. I'm not, like, against dating anybody in the Bachelor franchise, right. You know? I'm, like, open to it, so.
You're open to everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't discriminate.
No, I don't discriminate.
Are you going to be on Paradise?
We'll see.
That's a yes.
Well, that's exactly.
There's a lot of time left. 3 months from now.
Would there be any reason for you not? I mean, obviously, if you were in a relationship.
Like, I'm kidding myself. If I'm single, I'll probably go on Bachelor in Paradise.
You get to go hang out on a beach for a month?
Everybody I talk to who've done it or not done it, they're like, yeah, of course you're going to. Like, why wouldn't you?
I wouldn't do it if I were you.
No.
You're the first person.
He's lying.
That's all I needed was one person to say no.
He's lying. And you want to know how I know he's lying? Because when you're down at that beach, you're going to see this asshole walk down the stairs like 2 weeks after you.
Do it.
Well, just take these words of advice, Blake. Don't get yourself into a love triangle because I promise that one will come back and bite you in the butt.
Don't pull a Dean.
Totally. I love that my name can now be an adjective for something that you don't want to do.
Jason's calling in right now, actually. Should I answer?
Yeah, put him on speaker.
Put it on speaker. Hey, Jay.
Hey, what's going on? Not much, man.
I'm on the I Suck at Dating podcast. Say hi.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Jason.
How's everyone doing? We got Dean and Jared there.
Hey.
And Vanessa as well.
Hey, don't forget about me.
How's everyone doing? Good?
We're doing well. We're doing good, man.
I just got a text message with Jared and Ben, and they're all like, so what are we wearing tonight? And we have to be ready pretty soon, so that's
I know. I'm at the studio right now, and my car gets there in like a half hour.
Plenty of time. You're only on live TV. You don't have to look that good.
Cheers.
All right, sounds good, dude. I'll call you later.
See you, Jason.
Right, see you, dude.
Hi.
Blake, fill us in on what you got going on. I guess this is going to air on Tuesday, but Monday night you're going to be on the panel for After the Finals.
So it's actually live.
Oh, this is airing tonight.
Tonight.
So yeah, I honestly don't. Yeah, so it's me, Jason, Garrett, and Ben, and we're going to sit down with Colton and have a man chat.
Oh.
Yeah, dude. So at the end of the episode.
In front of a whole live studio audience?
Great.
Oh, there we go.
I got to make sure I don't loosen up too much and like start dropping F-bombs like I would in like a regular man chat.
Just have four whiskeys beforehand, not five. Just five, you'll go over the limit.
Do you think Colton's excited for the season to be over so
I
he
bet
can
he's,
just
yeah, yeah. I bet he's so ready. Well, I think any lead is like super excited for it to get over so you can like be with the person,
right?
If he's with somebody,
actually, if he's with someone.
We'll see. I don't
he's
know.
With someone, for
I don't
sure.
know.
We all know sure. he's marrying the fence.
I guess Vanessa's really the only one that's experienced.
I say all the time. I looked up there. Yeah,
Vanessa. What was it like? Because obviously you have to wait like 3 months after the show is done, or however long it is, and then you can finally be public with your relationship, right?
I mean, I think my relationship with Nick was a little bit different because I was like more. I was like really realistic about what we were going through, and I just wanted to, like, I don't know. It was let me tell you, it was fucking hard. And I did not want to go on AFR pretending as if like it was all rainbows and butterflies, because it wasn't. So yeah, I think it's like super exciting for Colton right now if he is with someone. And I did message him. I'm like, dude, I have no idea what's going on with you. I've watched a few episodes. I haven't read any spoilers. I don't want to know what's happening, but whatever advice I can give you is this: just soak it all in. And if you are with someone, make sure to nurture that relationship and not listen to like any outside noise.
So Blake is going to be on a panel with him tonight. What advice do you have for Blake to give to Colton?
Well, is this after whether he chooses someone or not?
No.
Mm-mm. So that's true. That's a good point. I guess I don't really know.
I think they just want.
You guys are all friends, so it's just like a friendly perspective.
Yeah, I think it's just like a see where the conversation goes, to be honest. Yeah, I think it's, they just want to, I think we're going to try and see where his head was at in that moment, like at the end of this episode, like what happens at the end of this episode. I don't want to spoil it for you, but.
No. But I mean, I saw obviously the last episode where he jumped the fence, and everyone is like, oh my God, they keep saying it's dramatic. I'm like, listen, for me, was the most romantic thing a guy could have ever done as the lead of the show. Like, it. I want to go after the one girl I'm in love with. I'm done filming. Like, I know what I want. Obviously, I don't know what happens. I don't know what happens in this episode, but I thought it was just, and I hope he ends up with Cassie.
Even if they end up
engaged.
I had a different perspective on it.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, I'm loving this unfiltered Vanessa. That's two F-bombs you've dropped so far.
I know, right?
It's because I'm here.
It's a lot of editing for Easton, poor Easton over here. I had a different perspective, because I don't think he was running away because Cassie was leaving. He was, but I think he was really running away from production as well, because even in that scene they showed a couple times where he was looking around the room, and it was very obvious that he was looking at producers behind the camera, even someone
like
who's
off at him, like,
totally, like, yeah, he even casual it. Audience members were looking at, like, well, is he looking at producers right now, what's going on? So, and then obviously he was running away from everybody. It was an interesting moment. But Blake, I wanted to talk about you. Is it weird at all for you to watch this season, seeing how close you were to being The Bachelor?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is interesting to. Yeah, I often put myself in the positions that he was in, or you know, and I don't know. Obviously, it could have played out different, but I have PTSD watching it. Like he told me. So I had the conversation with him about actually jumping the fence. I was like, dude, like, when you got over that fence, like, what, you know, what happened? He's like, I legitimately ran away. Like, he hid, and like, you'll see. Mm-hmm. They can't find him. They legitimately can't find him. And I can relate to that so much, where you just want to get away. Yeah. You know, you just want to go. After the failed proposal in the Maldives, I couldn't get off that island. I was stuck. There was no plane off that island. Mm-hmm. So I was stuck on that island knowing they were engaged, you know, down the... It was awful.
And you're
it
far along awful. At this point. You're like 3 months in.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to your family, friends in however long. Mm-mm. I can only imagine.
It's a rough.
Well, so I mean, basically, because it seemed like down to you, Jason, Colton, right? But so now... What's even better for you is you have your pick of the litter, essentially. Minus over Colton ends up with, if he ends up with
someone. All my friends are in relationships. That's you and me, Dean.
Well, I also want to get into a little story that has to involve Dean that happened on the Women Tell All, because I was going to ask Blake if any girls have slid into your DMs. You don't have to tell names, but have any girls from this season?
No, actually, they haven't.
What?
That's BS. That's
lies.
BS.
No, you haven't checked to get in DMs, that's why.
You know what it is. I bet you that they're afraid that if they reach out to you before Paradise and you're on there, then they'll be villainized because there's always that villain who reaches out beforehand and they talk and then they lie on the show, and I bet they don't want to go down that path.
Doesn't everyone do that? Not just one, like, one
I mean, I'm
girl?
Sure I'm gonna meet them, like, I'm gonna run into them at some point, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
before I went on Paradise, however, 2 years ago, I was very careful not to DM anyone beforehand.
Yeah, I haven't DM'd anybody yet.
And vice versa.
Because it's just, God forbid, you go down there and then all of a sudden the story becomes about you talking to someone beforehand, and now you're kind of in this drama. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. But on the Women Tell All, somebody, I think it might have been Katie, was talking about how Kaylin slid into somebody's DMs.
Yes.
I forgot about this.
And they were using it as an example as to why Kaylin's not there for the right reasons. Fast forward to the Almost Famous podcast last week, Kirpa goes on and says that Kaylin slid into Dean's DMs. Dean Unglert in the flesh.
I'm not surprised, though. Look at that face.
Oh, you're so sweet. let's talk about it. I want to just go on record and exonerate Kaylin from all of this nonsense that she's been part of, because the DMs were completely innocuous. They were like, before she was on the TV show, she basically messaged me and said, I was in Japan. It was that trip that I did, Japan, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And she was like, hey, I was just on that same trip not too long ago. Like, what are you doing copying my trip? You know, whatever.
Oh, no, that's a flirting. That's a flirting. She's flirting.
Certainly, but she's allowed to flirt with me. This was like back in July of last year or something like that. And I go, yeah, haha, I'm copying your trip. And then it got to the point where she's like, hey, I'm going to be in LA. Can we meet for coffee or lunch or something? So I was like, yeah, let's meet for coffee.
This is before the show.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, let's meet for coffee when I get back. I'll text you when I get back in like a month or something, however long I was gone for. I got back and then she messaged me again and she goes, hey, I'm actually in LA until Thursday. I see you just got back on Monday. Like, let's grab coffee before I leave. I said, sure, let's grab coffee. And then I just never followed up. So it was just like one of those things where we both kind of ghosted each other. Well, it was like it was a mutual ghosting, it seemed like.
Well,
like,
she was probably going through casting at this point.
Right.
And I guarantee you the reason that she wanted to get coffee or go to lunch was just to kind of pick my brain about the whole process of going on the show. Because at this point, she knew she was going on the show. Yeah, and I remember I was like, she was a Miss, what was she, Miss Alabama or something like that?
North Carolina, I think.
Miss North Carolina. And what's funny, actually, is I didn't even realize that she had DM'd me until like maybe a month ago. I was hanging out with one of my friends who is, they're going to be working together in some capacity on the line. And my name got brought up in that conversation. And then she mentioned to my friend how she DM'd me a while ago. And then I went back and you can go to the messages. So I Googled, or I'm sorry, I Instagrammed her profile and went through the messages. And I was like, holy shit. This is the girl that wanted to get coffee at one point, and I totally blew her off, and I didn't even realize it.
So you didn't put two and two together when you were watching the season?
I had absolutely no idea.
Wow. And that's how many girls slide into the DMs. You just can't keep up.
I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but it literally was like we exchanged like 5 messages a piece, and so there was just no, like, I didn't necessarily remember
but
exactly
how did,
who
so
it was.
So how do the girls know that she slid into her DM?
Into my DMs?
I
think she can candidly talk about it because she knows there was no foul play involved in any sense. It wasn't like she was like, hey, let's hang out, let's go get drinks, let's, you know, that kind of stuff. It was basically just like, hey, let's get lunch and talk about what I'm about to get myself into.
Crazy.
I mean, it's pretty funny. And then I feel bad because she has been getting blown up a little bit thinking this was some big thing.
And it happened like after the show or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was completely innocent. And so, I mean, I keep getting these like articles written about me, like Kaylin Miller Key slides into Dean Unglert's DMs. And I'm like, well, you guys don't even know the story.
What's her last name?
I think it's Miller Keys. Miller Keys. Anyways, Blake, you were just on Scrubbing In with Becca, right?
I was filling in for Tanya. She had jury duty. Okay. So I filled in for Tanya.
What'd you guys talk about?
Douching. We talked about douching. True story.
All right. Yeah. You gotta.
And did you
when
have.
When I was thinking about. Well, because I was thinking about douche, like in douche in French is like showering. So I was like, oh, wait. But no, we're talking about actual douching. Like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you
very
informative. What type of contribution did you have to the conversation?
Not much. Did a lot of listening.
Anytime I think of douche, have you guys seen Sausage Party?
Not. Yeah.
That's all I can think about.
I heard it's dirty. That's a dirty movie.
It's so dirty. But the douche, she's like this douchebag, like juice. Up, roided douche, and he goes around to all the other groceries. He's like, I'm a fucking douche.
It's pretty hilarious.
Well, listen, yeah, it's very informative. And if you ever call somebody a douche, you'll have meaning behind it because after listening to that podcast, you probably
learned a lot from that conversation.
I learned a lot. And they trapped me. Like, I didn't know it was coming, and they got on the phone. And
oh, they'll do that.
They started talking about douching.
I bet we're all going to learn a little bit from listening to that podcast. Thank you for filling in with Scrubbing In. Guys, you can definitely check that out this week. And thank you, Blake, so much for coming in today. We're very excited to see you on the panel tonight and see what advice you have to give to Colton.
Yeah. Right.
And we're even more excited to see you on Paradise.
We'll see.
I'm so excited for that. Because Jason's not going to be there because he's dating Kaylin.
So, well, that's the other thing. I don't have any friends to go down there with anymore.
Blake, as someone that's experienced a season after his, you being the it guy from your season and now going to have to take a back seat to whoever like the new guy is. I remember when I first saw you walk out and you had the horse, I was like, this mother. He's going to steal my spotlight. He's the new me.
This son of a bitch.
And I guarantee you, you're going to have the same feeling once this new girl.
I'm very I'll be irrelevant in about, well, I think tomorrow.
20 minutes ago.
Or I don't
tomorrow.
Know if they're going to bring out guys.
Filming starts tomorrow.
I'm just saying, I don't know.
If they announce the Bachelorette. Like,
I don't know. I don't know if they're
Who do you guys think is the next Bachelorette?
Hannah Beast. That's the rumor mill right now.
Mm-hmm. Hannah B?
Hannah B.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
Which, hey, Blake, is she your type at all?
Hannah B?
Yeah.
Oh my God, go on the season.
That's what I'm saying.
No way. Am I doing that again. No way.
Dude, you could be Nick Viall. Be second again.
Or Becca Tilly. Right.
It did work out for those two. I mean, they're pretty sick.
They're having fun.
They're doing fine. They're doing well.
No way. I'm not doing that. No way.
All right, fair enough. No. All right, Blake.
Have fun tonight. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
We look forward to seeing you on TV tonight for the first time in a year. So.
Okay, cool.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
By the way, Jared.
By the way, Dean.
Do you know who we have coming in next?
Who do we have coming in next?
You're going to love these three lovely ladies. The Three Bubbies, they have a new TV show coming out.
I heard about this, The Three Bubbies.
Trust me, you're not going to want to miss this. But before we get into that, I want to talk to you guys about 23andMe. You've heard us talk about it in the past. We're going to continue to talk about it today and hopefully forever because it's so, so awesome. Basically, we live in a world where we have access to data that gives us more personal insights into who we are. What's more personalized than your DNA? Now we can turn to our genetics for personalized health traits and more. 23andMe allows you to go beyond ancestry to access more personalized insights about you based on your DNA. And with more than 125 genetic reports, you can even gain insights about your health traits and more.
Totally. There's so many reports. There's one report called Deep Sleep Report. Now, if you've always suspected that you feel more sleepy than others after missing out like on a night's sleep, you might not be imagining things because your genes could be involved. They also have this alcohol flush reaction report. You hear about this one, Dean?
That's the rosacea one, right?
Yes, it is. So does alcohol always turn your cheeks red?
Not me, but pink? I have some friends that it really strongly affects.
Oh, well, very fair-skinned people, and it turns... So my cheeks get a little pink, and I hate it, because anytime I take a picture, I can immediately see if I'm a little tipsy or not. It's quite embarrassing, but you may have the alcohol... I may have the alcohol flush reaction.
I don't have it, personally. I can drink all the alcohol in the world and be okay.
Well, congratulations.
I'm a tank. What can I say?
Seriously. Oh, I guess I'm a lightweight over here. But I can learn more about the genetic factors that make it hard for some people like myself to process alcohol.
There's also that saturated fat and weight report, right? So the saturated fat and weight report can tell you about how your genetics may impact your body's response to your diet. You can learn if you're likely to weigh more on a diet high in saturated fat, even if you consume the same number of calories. So it's super important if you're interested in health and obviously being as fit as possible and as healthy as possible.
I think a lot of people just associate 23andMe with just ancestry when it's so much more. Like you just said, it has 125 genetic reports where you can find out about your sleeping habits, how alcohol affects you, your saturated fat and weight report. There's just a lot of different things that it can tell you about your body.
Anyways, what you guys can do as our listeners, if you definitely should, it's definitely worth it. Be sure to see what your genes can say about your health, your traits, and more. Buy your health and ancestry service kit today at 23andme.com/Dean. That's the number 23andme.com/DEAN.
Dean, summer's right around the corner.
Yeah, I need to get in shape.
Bachelor in Paradise is right around the corner.
I don't know why that affects me at all.
Because you got to get in shape for it. Because you're going to go on. Not for your own enjoyment. It's all about everybody else's enjoyment.
Let's say hypothetically, Jared, I were to go on Bachelor in Paradise. What advice do you have for me to get into shape?
Funny you ask, Dean, because getting fit and staying healthy always sounds easier said than done. Am I right or
You're
am I right?
Absolutely right.
Well, that's why Open Fit helps take care of all the complexity, and it takes all the confusion and hard work out of losing weight and getting fit. It's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room as little as 10 minutes a day. Everyone's bodies are a little different, and OpenFit gets that. It is personalized to your needs with custom-tailored original content. OpenFit classes are led by some of the most effective and engaging trainers in the world. Now, these trainers know how to get your results quick.
Jared, stop right there. Just tell me, is it simple?
It's super simple. You can forget all the complexity and stress around getting fit and just press play and work out on your own schedule.
Okay, fine. It's simple, but is it convenient?
It's so convenient. You can view on your own computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, and Roku. Mark, you do these classes, don't you?
I do with them a lot. I enjoy them. And you know when I do them, when I did them most of all, is when we were in Wisconsin for 2 weeks and you can't go outside because it's 10 degrees outside and you can't exercise. You can't go for a run. You can't do anything. And I don't have a membership to any gyms there because I'm just a tourist. So I would do Open Fit right there on my Google something or other.
I can beam it
from my iPad to the TV, and it was fantastic.
Mm. Beam it?
Beam it.
Is that like the technical term? That sounds like Star Trek.
It's like from the 60s, right?
Beam me up, Scotty.
Beam it.
I guess.
Well, Dean, do you like yoga?
Love it.
Well, my favorite course on this particular Open Fit class is Yoga 52. It's the perfect way to lose weight. All right,
honestly sounds like the perfect way to lose weight, build strength, reduce stress, maybe reshape your body by taking a deeper dive into yoga, Jared.
And it's changed the way that I've worked out, and you can use the code. Guess what the code is, Dean?
I'm going to guess it's Dean.
It's Dean. Yeah. D-E-A-N.
This guy's a guest on the podcast, and he gets his own code for all these things.
Unbelievable. And you can join us on a fitness journey personalized just for you. Again, use our code Dean, D-E-A-N, and start using Open Fit for your journey to a healthier life. And right now, during the Open Fit 30-day challenge, our listeners get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to Open Fit, where you can lose up to 15 pounds in 30 days. All you have to do is text Dean, D-E-A-N, to 30 30 30 30, and you'll get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts and the nutritional information totally free. Again, all you have to do is text Dean to 30 30 30.
Might be my favorite word in the English language.
Dean?
Free. Dean's number two, but free is just unbelievable.
Both four letters.
Yeah. Both have two vowels.
And an E.
And two consonants.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. The similarities are
mind-boggling.
So anyway, text Dean to 30 30 30, and you can get all of that for free for 30 days. Unbelievable. Okay, well, next up, we have the stars of JLTV's. What's the name of the show again? It's
Bubby's No Best.
Exactly.
Well, that's amazing.
It's so great to have all three of you in studio today. Can you guys go around and introduce yourselves real quick?
Absolutely. I'm Bubby Linda.
Okay.
I'm the smart one.
Bubby Linda, the smart one.
I'm Bubby SJ. I'm the sassy one.
I can sense that one from just the voice alone.
Yeah. And I'm Bubby Bunny. Oh, they say I'm the sweet one, but I'm not too sure about that.
So for the listeners out there, can you guys tell us what Bubbies are? What is a Bubby?
Well, Bubby is a Jewish grandmother.
Okay.
Yes. And we give advice because we have years and years of wisdom and we have grandchildren. So we know from where we speak.
That's right. And you're a grandbubby.
Yes.
But not
I've
all three.
Seven.
Seven. Seven.
Wow.
SJ, how many do you have?
I have three grandsons.
Wow.
Wow. And Bunny?
I have four grandchildren and two great-grandchildren.
Wow.
So between all of us, we have 14 grandchildren and two great-grandchildren.
Yeah. You're a great-grandbubby.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Over 200 years of experience here. So we got to get you married.
I love it. And so on the TV show, then, what do you got? What just follows along your life? How does it work exactly? The TV show.
Well, we have a suitor, three suitors, and we have a dater.
Okay.
Male or female, whatever we can, whatever catch can.
Does
right?
he have to be Jewish?
Well, most of them are Jewish, but we do have segments where there's a non-Jewish, okay. like Gentiles, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
And then they come in and we interview them
okay.
to see who would match our dater.
We grill them.
Do you?
Yeah, we try to find things in common. Like, well, first we'll interview the suitor.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then there's three potential dates.
Okay.
Let's say the suitor likes to work out or something like that. And so we interview the three potential dates. We find out, we'll say, well, do you like, you know, to work out? Do you like to read books? Whatever. Find things in common.
Gotcha.
So you guys are like the three Jewish grandmothers, like of Patty Stanger.
That's it. You're yeah. exactly
we're
right.
Stanger
we're Patty
version.
Stanger, but better.
But
way better.
Exactly. Way better.
Right.
But when, Go talk.
Yeah, Jared, I am so happy that you and Ashley are together. Oh, my God.
Yay.
Yay. You did bring your chocolates.
Bring your bell. Bring your bell, honey.
Wedding bells for you and Ashley.
Coming up. There is
Dean, are you single or married?
I'm single.
Ooh.
Very single.
My God.
So if you guys need a suitor to come on.
All right.
On the show.
What kind of girl are you looking for?
I'm available. Would I be a suitor or would I be one of the dates?
Well, you'll be a dater.
Okay. Yeah. Because I don't want to be grilled too hard. You know?
Well, I'm the hard griller,
you
honey.
Are.
If you're not going to wear a shirt that's pressed, forget about it.
I'm not a big colored shirt guy. I'll be honest with you. T-shirts typically are my go-to. Mm.
I think you are so good looking. You don't have to worry.
He is so good looking.
Is
that what you're wearing?
Thank you so much.
Yes.
So what kind of questions do you ask the suitors or the daters?
Well, I always ask the tough questions.
Yeah.
Like if a woman is wearing like phony hair, I'll always say, is that your hair?
Yeah. And we don't like that. We don't like when girls do that, right?
No, I don't. Right. I mean, come on. Show your real looks.
Of
right,
course.
Jared?
Absolutely. I tell Ashley that every day.
And I'll ask them what level of, let's say, Judaism do they like.
Okay.
Are you very traditional? Are you less traditional? You know, as again, the more things you have in common, the better. You know, what do you like to do?
Yeah.
Well, we even had lesbians on the show. Now, that was a tough one for me.
Okay.
I don't know what the top, the bottom. I don't know all about that.
Sure.
I asked top and bottom. Are you a top or a bottom? Of course, I would ask that question.
SJ, I like
the important questions. I get it.
Yeah.
So I took a DNA test on 23andMe not too long ago, and I found out that I'm less than 1% Ashkenazi Jew. So that means I have some Jewish blood in me.
You do.
There you go.
Well, right. That's why I'm here, Dean.
Yeah.
I took my DNA test and I found out I'm 50% Ashkenazi Jew.
Oh, hey, okay.
And yesterday I got my first call from Israel. I mean, now I'm like the new Jew in the neighborhood. Oh, my God.
We're teaching her all these Jewish Yiddish words like... say nachos?
Nachos?
It's really nachos.
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 They curl their tongue in the back of their teeth. It's never going to happen, Dean.
L'chaim?
Never. Yeah.
Right. Good job. You got the chah.
And you're very, very cute. I'm just looking
adorable.
At you with my glasses.
Adorable. What kind of girl do you like, Dean? Give us an idea.
Oh, I have absolutely no idea, really, I think. Someone outdoorsy. Someone fun.
Okay.
So if you guys have anyone in mind, let me know.
I think we can find someone for him.
Yeah. She might be sitting right here. Do you have an age limit?
I was just going to say, she's single, all right?
Vanessa, I'm never going to give up, okay?
Right. She ain't giving
you
up.
You shouldn't.
He's a good-looking guy.
Well, wait, Vanessa, okay. Are you single?
Yes.
I'm not. I was going to ask you, ladies. So yes. My boyfriend is actually Jewish, and his bubby's not with us anymore. Oh. So I can't go to her to ask for advice. What kind of advice would you give me for my boyfriend?
Well, I would say get to know. How long have you been dating him, for one thing?
4 months.
4 months. Okay. So have you gotten to know his friends? Because you can really tell a lot about a guy with, you know, about who he associates with.
Yes, I haven't met all of his friends yet, but he's very close to his family, which is like integral for me to date someone who understands that they need to spend as much time with their family as they do with mine. And this is the first relationship that's like that. So that's like always with his sisters or with his mom.
That's a good sign. That's a good sign.
Yeah, it's a good quality.
Yeah.
All right. Are you living together yet?
No.
Okay,
wait,
good.
Do you think 4 months is too early to start living together?
I don't know. Yeah. I do.
Yeah. I lived with my husband, pre-husband, the last third husband, 6 weeks after I met him, I moved him in. But I'm old, honey, so you know, how much time have I got left?
Wait to get to know each other a little bit better before you move in.
I agree.
And I think it's great that you're both from Canada. I mean, at least he's geographically suitable.
Yeah.
Nick was not happening because he was too far away, right?
Yeah, that's exactly the reason.
So he's Jewish, and you're Jewish, right, Vanessa?
Oh, there's
I'm not Jewish.
But he's Jewish. Oh, okay. Do you guys like to go to temple together? How do you work that out?
We're not practicing. So I'm Catholic, but not practicing, and he's Jewish, but not practicing. Well, I mean, he's practicing, but not as religious as other people would be.
That's so you're Italian? Thing.
I am.
Italian and Jews are perfect
together.
Honey, I was raised on an Italian and Jewish block. Of course we get along, darling.
Yeah, it's very, very similar backgrounds.
Vanessa, do you love them?
Oh, good question.
Funny, that is a great question. The boys haven't even asked me that.
No one's listening, Vanessa, okay? You can be frank with us.
How does he make you feel when you see him?
Yeah, I do love him.
You do?
Round of applause for love.
Do you feel he makes you a better person? Do you look forward to seeing him? Does he make your heart, like, tingle when you see him?
He does, and he's very soft. If you see him, he looks like this, like, macho, like Jared calls him the silver fox, but he has such a soft side to him, which is rare to find someone who's really good looking and is able to just sit you down and talk things through and talk about your emotions and not feel scared to be vulnerable.
Oh, he's sensitive. Beautiful. You have a lot of things in common, like what you like to do together.
We love spending time with our family. I mean, it's either I'm spending time with his or he's spending time with mine. We love helping out the community too. He's involved in politics and has other big projects that he wants to do to help out the Montreal community. And I have a nonprofit. So there's...
Oh.
Yeah, so we have a lot of great things in common, and it's nice. So I wanted to actually ask you guys, what is the best piece of advice you've ever given, or what's the best piece of advice that people have ever given you?
Wow, that's a great question, right?
For the two of you, just to keep things always good no matter what, I think it's like the 5-minute rule. The first, when he walks through the door, you walk through the door, you want them to see in your eyes that you are glad to see them. And that can make the difference of the whole day, the whole night of being with someone. I think, you know, we take it for granted after a while. Like a relationship is like a plant. You got to water it. And as long as you make him feel special, he's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's good advice.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I've been married 30 years last October.
Wow, congratulations.
Wow, congratulations.
I know.
That's
and,
one hell of a ring you got on. I like it.
What?
Your ring. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Put a ring on it. And I think that our relationship has stayed fresh because we tell each other we love each other every day. We look at each other. We look in each other's eyes, and we keep it fresh. And we go out, and we date, we do things, you know.
Yeah.
So you got to keep it fresh and always tell each other. Remember the first day you met, how you felt. Never forget that.
And I'm the realist in the group, honey. Let me tell you. First of all, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You should always have something in common with the person. And, you know, whoever tells you I love you first is the loser.
Oh, okay.
Wait, what does that saying mean?
That means he's the loser?
No.
That means that if, like, my husband told me he loved me first, I'm the winner.
No, right. No, I meant the first one. Throw the baby out with the
bathwater. Don't throw the baby out. Just, you know, wait a while before, like, for example, don't go to bed angry. Okay? So, you know, that means, like, don't give up. You know, yet.
Right.
Okay. Just give it a shot. Give it a chance, Jared.
Hey, Bubby. So you guys obviously all are very well versed on all things love and relationships. So we decided to ask our listeners on our Facebook page some questions that they might have for you that you guys could help answer, okay?
Awesome. Wow.
So we're going to have Mark read some questions from our Facebook page for you guys.
This is from Ashley. She says, should partners discuss how many sexual partners they've had in the past?
No.
It's unanimous.
No. The only thing that your partner wants to know is that it's over, period.
Yeah.
No details.
And they're the only one.
Right no. Now.
So, well. Okay. Sorry.
Follow up from Ashley. She says, do men really think about sex every 2 minutes like the statistic says?
No.
I think they do, actually.
Really?
I think they do. That's on their mind a lot more than women. I don't think it's every 2 seconds, but I think, let's say it's out there a lot.
Well, we got some men here, Dean.
I was about to say, Dean, in the past 2 minutes, have you thought about sex?
Yes. I've been thinking about it a lot once you guys walked in.
How are you doing after the show, Dean?
Older women rule.
Now, get out of here. Older men, forget about it. Yeah. They don't care that much. Maybe your husband does. Mine,
Miss Cougar here.
Yeah. Oh, I used to be a cougar.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How much younger would you go for?
Well, let's see. My second husband was 10 years younger than me.
Okay.
And my last boyfriend before my husband was 25 years younger than me.
That's cougar status.
Heck yeah. More power to you.
Thanks, honey.
I don't think age really matters. I think it's, you know, the connection you guys have. I also dated a guy that was 10 years younger.
Well,
10 years older. It doesn't matter.
I always say that age doesn't matter. And then I always hear other people's perspective when I see an article about how a 78-year-old billionaire is dating a 23-year-old model.
Well,
and then all of a sudden age matters. So I think kind of a gray area.
That's kind of a trophy wife kind of thing. That's a whole other story.
No, that's about reading the will. That's what that's about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is from Caitlin, and this is a nice transition here. How do you deal with money in a relationship? Do you share funds? How do you split the bills? How do you make sure the person who makes less money doesn't feel like they contribute less to the overall relationship?
Well, let me tell you about my relationship, because I married someone who had a little bit more money than I did. Mm-hmm. We split it 50-50.
Oh, wow.
And if he didn't like it, he could leave.
Oh, you split. Okay, so it's basically...
We commingle our funds.
You add the funds
right.
together,
yeah,
and then
we
it's half is yours, half is
yeah,
theirs.
That's
gotcha.
What we did.
Okay.
I'm old school. I mean, I come from an age like the 50s and everything. The men took care of the women. I don't mind treating and doing all those things, but I want to be with a man that can take care of me.
Okay.
I'm agreeing... my husband and I both worked. He made a lot more money than me, but we just commingled our funds. And when I'm not working, you know, he's taking care of me.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I've been on both sides of it. I think in past relationships, I've made less money than my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And she was she was very giving, I guess, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen both sides of it.
And I agree with SJ. Once you're married, I think
just
it's your
together.
Money, not each other's.
Do you think marriage, Vanessa?
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, okay.
Why?
What do you think? Okay.
Why?
Okay. So I come from, my parents are divorced, and I have, you know, people in my life that have been divorced, and where the women just end up getting burnt at the end of it. And I want to make sure that when the day comes where I get married, if I choose to get married, or if I'm in a long-term relationship and I'm cohabitating with someone, I want to make sure that the money that I've earned, every dollar I've ever made, nothing was ever given to me. So I know the value of a dollar. So it's very important for me to make sure that I protect what I've earned throughout the years of working, and that I don't know if it's important. I don't know. Maybe I'm not thinking straight, but is it important to make sure that you both know how much money you have in the bank account? Or should women and men alike not have to display everything before entering marriage?
I think it's good to know.
I think the question is, are you talking about pre-marriage or after you're married?
Well, pre-marriage, because, I mean,
I went on a first date a couple months ago, and somehow we brought up the topic of credit scores, and I have a really bad credit score, and she has a really good credit score, and she goes, we still talk, like, we're still friends, whatever. She goes, you telling me your credit score was a pretty big red flag for me.
Wow. Well, you modern day people are just too
You know, I'm not ashamed to admit the fact that I got a score in the 600s. It's growing. It's just going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the highest score is like 800. It's not so far from.
Yeah, it just takes a little bit of time.
Forget
is all, you know?
Forget her.
We should help you on that.
Okay.
She's rubbing off on you. But no, I think if you come into the marriage and you have a whole bunch of money, you might want to think about a prenup. I'm not against that.
Well, let's ask the question to Jared, because he's engaged, right? So what do you and Ashley have, I'm sure, discussed this. Mm-hmm. So what did you guys conclude?
It's our money. Both of us, whatever we make, we're putting it
together.
There you
go. That's right.
But Jared, what about from before? Vanessa's saying she's worked hard for her money, right? That should stay your money. Mm-hmm. I don't think you have to throw it into the pot.
Well, I don't know. I don't agree with that, because, like, when I had a business, my husband has a business, when we got together, and I go, this is my business. Let's, you know, this is what I make. This is how much I've saved, blah, blah, blah. And I said, what have you got to, you know, contribute? So he brought everything along so I could look at. I like that transparency. Everything, I think, in a marriage has to be transparent. If it is, you start having secrets.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I agree with the transparency. I just think that we need to protect ourselves, because you never know what ends up happening, right?
Exactly.
And I've had women come up to me and they're like, well, you know, I never agreed with the idea of prenup ever, because I was like, what's the point of having a prenup and talking about a prenup before getting into marriage, when you're basically saying, hey, there's a 50-50 chance that we're not going to work out? But now I'm looking at it as, hey, why? I don't want to end up like some couples. Divorce rates are so high. Like, I think now it's like 38% or 40% of people that get married get divorced. And it is really scary, because dating nowadays, it's not the same as it was like in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. Like, it's very different. And I want to make sure if shit hits the fan, I want to make sure that we're able to end the relationship or the marriage or whatever it is on good terms, without it having to be messy because of money. And money is the root of all evil.
That's true.
Vanessa, I hear you. And he needs to respect you as the man. If that makes you feel safe to keep your money, then that man should say, okay, honey, that's what we're going to do, because I sense it's going to be too uncomfortable for you to do it any other way.
Nah. But you made a great point, Vanessa. The divorce rate is so very high these days. That's why we puppies
are
around to give advice. Yeah. Seriously.
And
we do every Monday night on JLTV at 8 p.m.
Love it.
But Vanessa, I've married a man that I was totally in love with. And 10 years later, I looked over at the pillow. I wanted to smother him. You know, you just don't know in life.
Right.
So you got to keep your little booty to your booty yourself.
I don't see. I don't agree.
Your booty or your booty?
To your booty or whatever.
I don't agree with that.
I think every situation is different. When I married my husband, he had been divorced 5 years, and he really didn't have that much. I didn't have that much, so we were able to grow and build our lives together. So with, you know, somebody that has money, like I say, it's a whole different situation. Mm. You might want to do a prenup.
Oh, I'm not saying I have money, even if it's $5. You know, it's I want it.
Yeah.
Okay. You know,
let's hear the next question, girl.
Oh, thank you very much. Dana wants to know, how do you deal with a guy who is love bombing you? For example, he comes on really strong. He mentions your future on a third date. He wants to meet your parents in the near future. He needs constant communication, plans the next date while on one date. I've come across a lot of men like this lately, and it's such a turnoff.
I don't believe him.
What do you mean?
He sounds too desperate.
I don't believe that somebody's planning your... That's just like love. I love that expression, love bombing. Yeah. I don't believe that somebody is like, oh, we're planning, we're going to get married. Don't believe that guy.
It just happened to me about 7 months ago, and I wanted to throw up.
Oh, wow.
I mean, if this happened to me, like, when I was younger, oh, my God, he loves me. He wants to do all this.
Right.
Now I see through this. I mean, what is love? Love is respect, right? And and that is garnered over time when you get to know someone. Too many angles. He was gone. I forgot his phone number.
That's a turnoff. That would frighten me. If someone came on that strong to me, I'd say, whoa, back off.
Yeah.
Back off.
In my opinion, it's respect and understanding, right? And so how could you love someone that you don't fully understand? That takes time.
Yes, it takes, right.
Absolutely.
Well, as soon as I told him I was getting this like major operation and all these things were happening, bye-bye.
Yeah.
But he doesn't call anymore.
But so from my perspective, for someone that can fall quickly, I can see how someone could get excited. But it does kind of lead to like misunderstandings later on, right? Because maybe you won't follow through with a lot of the things that you thought you could promise the person. And it just leads to bad things.
You take a step back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Deal with a patient.
I'm looking at you. You're so handsome. Dean, I've got to say,
Calm down, Bubby Bunny.
What is wrong?
Take a breath.
Do you have bad breath? Do you not kiss good? What is going on?
The list is endless. We have to find him somewhere.
It's the credit score.
Can
you come on our show? We'll find you someone. You want to come on our show, Dean?
Yay.
So, Bubby, how versed are you in modern dating, would you say? Because I feel like, would you agree dating is a little different today?
Isn't it the swipe right and left thing?
Well, my question, do you know what Bumble is?
Well, it's a hair care product. I know that.
Or Tinder?
No. I do. I know all those.
What is that?
Bumble is one of the dating sites, but nothing is different from 1,000 years ago or today. Love is love. Mm. You look in somebody's eyes and you know how they feel. And then that's what you should wait for. You should wait for that feeling that Cupid's come down and just shot you right through the heart.
Yeah.
I really feel like today it looks like there's so many choices. There's too many choices. Like I was saying, swipe left, swipe right. You know, in my day, which was many years ago and 16 years ago again, it was a little easier to find people and a little easier to find love, you know, than in today's with your swiping. You have so many choices. How are you going to pick just one?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, arranged marriages are nothing new. They go back thousands of years. Even in the Bible, it talks in Genesis. Mm-hmm. Isaac sends somebody out to go meet Rebecca, bring her back to Canaan. They fall in love. They get married. They have family in common. And even in the Orthodox community, some Orthodox communities, they have matchmakers set up dates. And they work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're here.
I'm trying to pull up stats because you said that it used to be easier to get, in your day. It was easier to marry than it is today because there's too many options. And it was in a book I was reading a while ago. I wish I could bring up the stats, but it was saying how marriage has evolved because back in the 70s, statistically speaking, you were more likely to get married to someone that lived in the same city as you. And that has obviously decreased greatly throughout the years. And the same thing, like it's just gone. It's gone from like most likely to get married within the same city, state, country, and just the numbers.
You knew their family
because you just meet everybody all around the world. Like I open up my phone and I'm connected to millions of people all across the globe.
Well, that's because you were on a TV show. Who are you kidding?
Fair, but it's interesting to me because I think it is harder to meet people because I do believe in that grass is greener on the other side theory, which says that people are always looking for the next best thing. They're almost looking for something that doesn't exist.
It's different grass. That's what I always say. Grass is not greener. It's just different grass. Doesn't mean it's going to be better grass than the grass that's in your own. If you help grow the grass in your own backyard and till it and stuff, then it's going to be great. As opposed to like, oh, that's better than what I've got.
Jared is growing his grass with Ashley.
The grass is growing. Yeah. I haven't mowed it yet.
Yeah. I'm so happy.
What was the moment that you knew that this was going to work and she's not going to cry anymore?
She still cries sometimes.
I love that.
But I think that's the important thing to realize, especially about couples today, that everything's not perfect. I think people look at Ashley and myself as this perfect couple, and it's not. We argue sometimes. There's some bad moments. There's some animosity and obstacles that we have to overcome as a couple together. But I think that's the way we look at it, that we are a couple working together to overcome this obstacle.
Because I've realized, especially in my past relationships, that it's always not going to be perfect. And the idea of looking for this soulmate that fits every one of my needs is just ridiculous and childish to think of. And so that's why it's commitment is a choice, right?
Right.
It's not a God-given right.
Now, I give you a bubby hint, and it would be that when you do argue, try to take their hand and remember why you fell in love with them.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have big blowouts, but of course there's, you know, certain things that we talk about and have adult conversations. But I think it's good to let everybody know that so they don't see, oh, well, they're in a perfect relationship. Jared is just in, you know, cloud nine right now. And it's like, no, we're two very real people that have been friends for quite some time that know each other very well. And sometimes we have wonderful moments and sometimes we have things that we have to work, you know, together
right.
to get over.
Expect perfection. You're never going to stay together.
I feel like a lot of people today expect
it.
That's the problem today. Everybody, so many people expect the perfect whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, life happens.
There is no perfect anything.
No, and I think you guys can attest to this. You know, 50 years ago, women and men were getting married because it made sense, because they, you know, it was social status, wanted to start a family. Now people are getting married because they want to find their soulmate, they want to find their love, they're getting married later in life because they want to self-discover themselves before they commit to somebody else. And so it's
they're
just
finding matchmakers.
Yeah, finding matchmakers, which is something that we're kind of need in today's world.
That's right.
Going on Bachelor in Paradise.
Right, that's right.
But I agree with what you guys are saying. I think some people are just looking for something that just does not exist.
There is no perfect. That's all I got to say.
Nope. When you first meet, there's that all that chemistry and all that stuff. But then, you know, the marriages and relationships that hang together is when you hang together during the difficult times. You understand life happens.
Totally. One of my favorite quotes of all time. This gentleman that I look up to very greatly, he was talking about marriage. He's been married for quite some time, and he said, you know, in the first year, it's all lovey-dovey. You guys be folding clothes together, and you're just madly in love because there's infatuation, and you guys are attracted to each other, and it's new, and it's great. And then some bad stuff is going to happen, and then you guys are going to have to work together to overcome those things. And if you can overcome those things together as a couple, that's when the real marriage starts.
That's
and that's when love changes into something greater.
That's great.
So. That's Bubbies, do you guys mind sharing with our listeners one more time where we can watch you?
On Jewish TV? Lifetime Television Network on Monday nights at 8 p.m.
That's called JLTV.
Bubbies Know Best.
Bubbies, thank you all so much for coming in today. It's always great to get a unique perspective. I don't think we've ever had a Bubby on the podcast before, so it's nice to kind of hear more from you guys.
It's been fun.
I'll definitely be tuning in to Bubby's Know Best Monday nights.
We want you to date.
Hey, I'm working on it.
We want you on the show.
Come on. Yeah. I'll be there next week.
Okay. Then, all right.
Well, that's perfect, because the Bachelor finale is tonight, and then people who can't get enough need more dating next Monday night, 8 o'clock. Bubby's Know Best.
You got it.
And the best of luck, Vanessa. Love you.
Thank you so much,
honey.
Thank you all so much.
Love you. Bye, honey.
Love you.
All right, Dean. Last week, you weren't here. I asked Vanessa 10 questions about her life, dating life, anything to really do with relationships in general. Mm-hmm. So I figured, well, you're back in studio, why not we play another segment of 10 questions with Dean and Vanessa? Well, I'm asking the questions.
Yeah, but I think it should be 10 questions with Jared. It's because you're gonna
I answer them too, but it goes far more in depth with you two because people just care more about you than they do me. Moving forward, here we go. Yes. 10 questions with Dean and Vanessa. Is my mic on? I don't hear myself.
You're on. You're talking. On.
Here we go. We're talking. All right. 10 questions. Here we go. Number one. Dean and Vanessa, who is your celebrity crush / who's your hall pass? If you have a hall pass, you have one celebrity that your significant other, Dean, you're going to have to pretend for this one, would let you date or pretty much sleep with. Would that be?
Emily Ratajkowski.
That's your celebrity crush?
Yeah.
I mean, she's gorgeous. Don't get me wrong. Is she dating anybody?
Probably. I think she's married or something.
Is it?
Yeah, I think she's married.
Oh, good God. She is a gorgeous woman.
She was married last year to Sebastian Bear McLeod.
I wonder
who's
if
that?
She... I don't know, a great name. I wonder if I could be her hall pass. Maybe she's doing a podcast in some other universe right now answering the question with my name.
I don't think it would be another universe because you were on TV, so she may know who you are.
Well, Vanessa,
she probably knows who you are. My answer, Dean.
Oh!
Ah,
the answers I'm looking for.
I Dean was paying attention. That's why. No, it's funny. So I messaged
this
Dean.
This is the best news I've gotten all week.
No, wait, hold on. We connected on Raya and he's like, what are you doing on this thing? You're in a relationship. And I totally forgot I still had the app on and there was like this notification. So I'm like, I wanted to show I wanted to show my boyfriend how it worked. And so Dean was the first profile that showed up. That's and I pressed funny. Like the, cause I said, I'm just here for friends. So I clicked the check mark and we connected. I was like, what?
What did you think of my Raya profile?
I didn't even check it. I just saw your face and I was like, oh,
what
Deanie
song
baby.
Do you use?
Keep Your Heart Young by Brandi Carlile.
Oh, that's nice. Vanessa, what song do you use?
Know that is. I don't know. I haven't checked my profile in months. What do you remember what song I used? I know.
You told us before it was like Coldplay or something like that.
No, I think it's like something with 3 a.m. I don't know.
3 a.m. Matchbox 20?
Yeah, there you go.
Wait, you really have 3 a.m. Matchbox 20? Yeah, Vanessa, if I came across you on Raya, I totally would have.
Do you have short-term memory loss? Because we've literally had this exact same conversation where Jared gushed over the fact that Vanessa used Matchbox 20.
Oh, it's coming back to me now. I have such a bad memory. It's terrible, bro.
So do I, apparently.
It's called Keep Your Heart Young.
By Brandi Carlile. It's fantastic.
Right,
if you guys
pulling
like
it
folk,
up right now.
It's a good feel-good song.
All right, number two. Have you ever dated a friend's ex? Now, this includes if you've ever hooked up with a friend's ex one night. Now, this is an interesting question because obviously we're in the Bachelor franchise and we're kind of
I'm clear. I am. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Whoa.
No,
you don't know
names. It doesn't really count. No, it doesn't really count because I didn't know Caitlyn before. I'm friends with Caitlyn now.
Sure,
but I didn't
count.
Know Caitlyn before. Yeah.
You're innocent. Your hands
so,
are clean.
So, nope. I'm disqualified from this because I don't.
That was fair. Yeah. But in your personal life, have you ever dated an ex, a friend's ex?
I have. No.
You have?
Yeah.
Outside of Bachelor?
Yep.
Okay. Was that awkward?
At first, yeah.
How'd that come about?
Did
your friend know?
Because your friend was dating this person, then they broke up, and then you started...
It wasn't very serious with my friend and the girl, and then I wanted to get serious with the girl, so we just had a conversation and figured it out.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Number three. Now, if you could choose... We've all been... Dean, you've been on Paradise, Winter Games, Bachelorette. Vanessa, you've been on Bachelor. Yes. Now, if you could choose, would you rather be a contestant on The Bachelor, The Bachelorette... or Bachelor in Paradise. Now, this includes being the lead on one of them. If you got to choose, if producers came to you and said, hey, you have a choice to either be the Bachelor, Bachelorette, be a contestant on one of those shows, or be a contestant on Bachelor in Paradise, which one would you choose?
Vanessa?
I would probably choose Bachelorette, but on the condition that I can work with production to actually, so that they can hire a matchmaker to find two guys that they know would be a really great match for me, not just like random 30 people that they think that I would connect with.
But you would pick being the Bachelorette?
Yeah.
I choose none of them.
You have to choose the game.
You have to choose one
of
them.
I'd probably do Paradise again.
Interesting. Oh. So you would not be the Bachelor.
There's just too much pressure. And
that's why I asked the question, because I was thinking in my head, if I had to choose, Ashley and I were just talking about it, what would we choose? And I don't know if I choose being The Bachelor.
I don't know if I ever talked about this publicly on this podcast, but they were talking to me about being The Bachelor after my season of Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sure, but you guys have to realize it's a really bad decision for you because... I don't even know if I want to get married.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
But that's fine. But that's okay. You can just end up in a serious relationship. I don't see what the pressure is of like having to put a ring on it. I don't know. I think they should change a little bit.
I told them, I was like, look, I I'll do it, but I just want you to know odds are pretty high that I probably wouldn't propose to anyone by the end of the season.
You think that's why they didn't choose you?
I'm sure there's many reasons why they didn't end up going with me, but I'm sure that was factored into the equation.
Yeah, but Vanessa, part of being on the show is being ready for marriage.
Right, but you can be ready. I was definitely ready for marriage. I mean, it's really shitty that my engagement didn't work out. I think there's a higher success rate if you could get to know each other and then get proposed to and then go into marriage. I don't think you have to get engaged at the end of the show.
Yeah, but that's not how the show works.
I get that, but listen, that's my mentality. I did. I'm happy I did. And I'm happy I had that conversation with Nick because he was basically like, yeah.
Well, that's fair. All right, number four. Where's the strangest place you ever made whoopee?
What's a whoopee? Sex?
What, are you kidding me? You never heard whoopee?
I don't know what whoopee is.
I bet the Bubbies know what whoopee is.
100%. I don't know. Maybe a park?
A public park?
A public park?
A public park in broad daylight, I would say, is probably the weirdest place.
Were there others present?
Plenty of other people present.
You're joking.
There's actually a funny story that I'll share. It was years ago. It was during a thing called SantaCon. Are you guys familiar with SantaCon?
In New York?
It's in San Francisco. I'm sure there's one in New York, Santa Monica. They're all over. It's basically just thousands of people coming together, dressing up like Santa Claus, doing a pub crawl. We were in San Francisco with like 40 of our friends, and we were all obviously drinking and partying and all dressed up like Santa Claus. And me and my girlfriend at the time both decided to make whoopee, if you will, in Santa costumes in the middle of a public park, in the middle of broad daylight.
Did you get caught?
No. I don't know. It just felt. Oh, it was just funny. It was just a funny
situation.
Did
she keep the beard on?
I don't know if she had a beard on, but she was in a full Santa Claus outfit, and so was I. It's just funny to think of two Santa Clauses going at it in
the
middle of the park.
Did you come down the chimney?
Oh, there it is. There it is. Vanessa, what about you?
I wanted to share, but then I'm like, I know my dad listens to this podcast.
Oh, so was it in your parents' like couch?
No, I just don't want my parents to know that I, what
that
is
you're
it,
sexually
made
active?
Whoopee? Made whoopee. Yeah, that I did a whoopee in, okay, fine, I'll just share it. So I was on vacation.
That was easy.
And what?
I said, that was easy.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever. So I was on vacation and, you know, sometimes you just want to do something a little bit out of the box. And so we... We walked into someone's garage and made whoopee.
And there we go.
Nice.
Jared, so a garage.
Jared, I want you to answer this question too, please.
But a stranger's garage.
Right, a stranger's garage.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Wow.
I like it. Adventurous.
It's a crime. That's a crime.
Did you come down his chimney? Oh, what was the question?
Appropriate.
Jared, you answer the question too,
please. Yeah, it was in a basement, but it was weird. It was at my girlfriend's college at the time, so it wasn't in her dorm. It was like in this basement for some reason. We just thought it would be spontaneous, and I ended up bending down at one point and hit my head against a pipe, and I got a black eye from it. So for like 2 months afterward, I had a black eye, and I obviously lied to my parents and told them that I did it while like walking into the gym or something and banged my eye. While it really was trying to make whoopee in the basement. All right, number five. On this podcast, we were talking last week about how we should learn a new dating term each week. Mm-hmm. So this week, have you guys ever heard of the term cuffing season? Cuffing, C-U-F-F-I-N-G.
Who hasn't heard of cuffing season?
Well, Dean, there we go. Dean, would you care to explain what you think cuffing season is? Hold on, actually. Vanessa, what do you think it is first?
Call.
Okay, cuffing.
Cuffing. As in cuffs.
Like
Yeah. Cuffing season. Oh, I know. Winter.
Yeah,
very good.
You cough a lot in the winter.
Yes.
Cough a lot all the time. You know, it's just cold.
Yeah, cuffing season. It's
because you wanna make sure you're settling down with someone because it's cold and you wanna like be cozy with someone. So you're arresting them.
It's like musical chairs. The music's gonna stop. You better get a chair quickly.
Totally.
Grab somebody now.
It is. Is that what you thought it was, Dean?
Well, yeah, of course.
Oh, of course, you know what it is. It is described as during the fall and winter months, people who would normally rather be single or promiscuous find themselves, along with the rest of the world, desiring to be cuffed or tied down by a serious relationship. The cold weather and prolonged indoor activity causes singles to become lonely and desperate to be cuffed. Now, that obviously goes to the opposite of that, which is uncuffing season, usually during the spring and summer months, when people who were previously in relationships during the winter break, they break up with their girlfriend or boyfriend to be free for the summer and warm months so you can play the field and not be tied down during the best times of your life. Cuffing season and uncuffing season.
Dean, does cuffing season affect you? Do you get those desires as the guy who celebrates non-monogamy?
I think the thing that messes with me most is just my friends practice cuffing season. And so it's like when all your good friends are, you know, kind of
single.
Coupling up over the winter months, that kind of thing. Then you're kind of like, oh, well, why am I not doing that? Mm. But no, I don't know. We live in LA. It's summer year round here, basically.
Isn't it quite ironic that uncuffing season occurs during Bachelor in Paradise? So it's like uncuffing, you're going on Paradise to kind of like meet singles, but yet the entire idea of the show is to get engaged.
Yeah.
I feel badly
suggesting this, but maybe five questions?
Yeah, it's long.
Yeah, it's long right now. It's being long.
You guys. I have a question for you guys. You guys know what BDE means?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Mark's got it.
Pete Davidson's got it.
What's PDE? What is it? PED?
BDE.
What's that?
Big dick energy.
Oh, yeah, I know that one. Yeah.
Okay. I just figured that one out. I was like, whoa, that's...
This room is overflowing with BDE right now. Between Mark Easton and Jared, it's just...
Four men with BDE. All right, that was five questions with Dean and Vanessa.
Yay! I do have a couple of emails I want to get to before we go because I find these... I love when we get unique questions that we've never heard before. Kelsey, I don't make much money, but my boyfriend has a corporate job and his paychecks are 3 to 4 times mine. We're looking at apartments and we found one we love. When discussing what I could afford, I offered basically my bi-monthly paycheck and he offered less than 1/4 of his salary, which is still more than mine. However, we're still short on rent and he asked if I could increase my budget. But I really can't. I feel like as my boyfriend, he should understand that I don't have any money and he makes a lot more money. He shouldn't be asking me to add more money. Am I being overly sensitive or do I make a valid argument?
Valid argument. Okay, so yes, I think things should be split 50-50. I'm someone who like it takes pride in working and making my own money. But at the end of the day, like my 50% might be very different than someone else's 50%. I dated someone that wanted a luxurious like place to live in. And I was like, well, all I can afford is X amount of money per rent. So I said, well, all I can offer is this amount of money per rent, this amount of money per month for rent. And if you want to get this specific place, then you're going to have to put in whatever whatever half that I can afford. And I think that was fair because I was still paying my rent and they wanted to live in something that I couldn't afford at the time. So that was my 50%.
I feel like that kind of goes against what you were saying earlier, though.
It's
about
the complete opposite
situation with the bubbies here. I feel like
but listen, if you're making more money and you want to live somewhere that's a little bit more that the person can't afford, then how is that fair? So then let's live according to the person who makes less money.
Well, I agree. I think that you should set your budget before you begin looking. And if someone wants to stay somewhere that's more expensive, then you just say, okay, this is what I was supposed to pay. If you want to live in this area, that's on you, but this is our budget. We can get a place somewhere else with
that
money.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to compromise before you guys even think about getting a place. Because it should be like it all depends on what you discuss. It should be 50-50 if you guys want it to be 50-50, or if you think you're gonna get married and want to combine bank accounts, then one person should pay and it's all one lump sum of rent.
By the way, I have an update on my living situation if anyone's curious.
Oh, great.
I'm moving out of my house in May and I'm gonna move full time into a van.
Interesting,
oh,
isn't
my
it?
God.
Stop it, really?
For 3 months. I'm subleasing my room in my house for 3 months, May to August. I've wanted to do van life for a long time now. Mark's giving me a weird look.
It's just baffling to me, but I guess with you, I shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I've wanted to live in a van for a long time. I know I need to do it while I'm still young and still single. It's kind of
Dean, do you follow this guy on Instagram? I think he's from Montreal. He's like really good looking and he lives in a van.
No.
I'll send you his Instagram page. But anyway, it looks like he has like such a fulfilling life. And I'm like, damn, I want that.
Yeah.
What is appealing about living in a van?
I mean, it's just like a nomadic experience. You're kind of responsible for where you sleep and where you wake up. And I don't know. It just seems like something that you can do to kind of get away from everything for a little bit.
Will you travel America or?
Yeah, I'm going to drive up to like Yosemite or like over to Arizona and go to like Grand Canyon, Zion, those types of places. I've always wanted to see the Mount Rushmore. I know that's kind of more of a flight thing. That's a long drive, but it's always a possibility.
What type of van are we talking about?
Like an old school VW Westfalia, like with a pop top.
Oh, that's a good van.
Yeah.
That's
cool. They're a little bit more pricey than I thought they were going to be. I'm also going to be in Europe for like a month in July. And so I'm like, well, I might as well just, you know.
You should buy the Mystery Machine.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I could be Scooby-Doo.
I could totally see Dean driving around in the Mystery Machine, living out of there.
Zoinks.
I edit this podcast so I don't have to live in a van. That's why I'm here. It's just interesting how different our goals are right now.
I mean, hey, look, like I said, I've always wanted to do it. I lived in an RV for 4 years when I was a little kid. So maybe this is like me returning to my roots. My brother has done it for the past like 5 years and he seems to be pretty happy with it.
And it fits your nomadic lifestyle. You're always traveling and you're not tied down.
I will say I can imagine it'll make me significantly less appealing to the opposite sex. But that's fine. That's just how it's going to be.
I don't think so.
How are you?
That means you'll have more money in your bank account.
Well, it's not really that I'm doing it for.
How are you going to clean yourself?
Well, that's the thing, Mark. I just won't.
I think a big negative to the females. God.
No, I'll get gym memberships. I'll go cleaning myself in the ocean every once in a while. There are ways it could be done. I was in Mexico, remember, last year for like 2 weeks, living in an RV with Courtney. Didn't shower once. Smelled phenomenal.
Oh. You want to tell Mark and Easton what you just started using again?
I just started using soap again. You guys would all be pleased to know.
That deserves a round of applause right there.
Awesome. Yeah. For you. Congrats, Dean. Wow. Yeah.
There's a story behind it that I probably shouldn't share, but I'm going to anyways. I got a rash all over my stomach, which I thought to be shingles. I thought that I contracted shingles at one point. Turns out it was just contact dermatitis. It was like an allergic reaction to something, but it was on my stomach for maybe a couple weeks and I was like, this is just getting worse. It's not really getting any better. Mm-hmm. And I started using soap and the soap started just to clear it right up. So
soap's amazing like that.
I'm going to stand up and show you guys right now. It's actually gotten a little bit worse over the past couple days.
Gee, look at that.
It's a rash, Vanessa.
Yeah, I don't know how excited you should be over that.
It's a very sexy rash, but it's a rash nonetheless.
Great rash.
Like scarred over, too. I don't know what's going on. It's not the best thing in the world.
That's all right. I remember when I was in L.A.
Yep. I think I got it skydiving back in January. I stayed in like this bunkhouse for a couple days.
Back to underwear or no
underwear.
No.
Just yet.
You don't have to prove that.
Who needs underwear?
But I'm using body soap at least once, probably like 2 out of every 3 days. Shampoo and condition once a week.
Baby steps.
My skin's never been drier. Sorry.
No, you're fine. I love talking about your skin. I just wanted to ask one more thing about that last email to Vanessa before we move on. Vanessa, if the roles were reversed and it was the girl that had to support the guy by paying more in rent, would you still agree to that?
100%.
That's just the PC answer, though.
No, it's not. It's really not.
All right.
I was curious.
Next email from Claudia. I've been with my now ex for only 6 months. I just found out that during the exclusive time, not like putting a label on it time, but we were exclusive, my boyfriend cheated on me twice. I instantly broke up with him when I found out, and now I'm second-guessing myself. I really loved him, and he says he really loved me, too. He also said he's not going to give up on us, but he also cheated on his previous girlfriend. Ooh. Is it worth taking him back, or am I right to have broken up with him right away?
All right. Here's what makes me frustrated about this email. What does it mean, I just found out during the, quote, exclusive, but not like putting a label on it?
Look, I just found out about this, too, with the morning show, with the Seacrest Morning Show staff.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, and you guys are in the dating world, so you can confirm this for me, there is exclusive time, and then there is boyfriend-girlfriend time. Those are two separate levels of the relationship.
I hate everybody.
I agree. That's
this is
nonsense
so stupid
to me.
What does that even mean? So boyfriend and girlfriend, you're still dating other people?
No. That comes after. The conversation first is, we're not sleeping with other people. Got it. Then the next conversation months later is, you're my boyfriend or you're my girlfriend.
I think that once you say you're not sleeping with other people, then they become your boyfriend.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree too. I think it's exclusive. Not like we're exclusive sleeping together. We're just exclusive to each other emotionally.
I'm willing to bet that Claudia and him never had that exclusive talk. I bet you that she thought it was assumed that they were in the exclusive period. He probably didn't think the same thing. He was hooking up other girls. Hopefully, at the very least, he was honest about it. Sounds like he might have been.
Well, it sounds like he was.
Otherwise, she wouldn't have known. I don't consider
that cheating. Was he honest or did he get caught?
I don't consider that cheating. If he was honest.
What?
If he was honest about sleeping with other girls.
Yeah, she asked him and he was like, yeah, I am hooking up with other girls.
How is that not cheating?
Because they were never labeled as boyfriend, girlfriend.
Because here's the thing, I think you can't assume that you're exclusive just because you're hooking up with somebody. You have to have a conversation about it. That's what makes me frustrated about today's dating. It's like, well, we're not boyfriend, girlfriend, but we're not seeing other people. And it's like, well, what does that even mean?
Right.
Why would you not be boyfriend, girlfriend if you're not going to try to work towards something? If you're exclusive, you're boyfriend, girlfriend. If you're not exclusive, you're not.
Well, I think Claudia needs to have that conversation with him. If she wants to actually be exclusively boyfriend and girlfriend, then yeah, whatever. Give him another chance. Maybe there was some miscommunication and you thought that you guys were exclusive. And that's why he quote unquote cheated.
Claudia, we just want to say we love you and we really appreciate you listening to the podcast. But the headline, am I wrong for breaking up with my cheating boyfriend? He's not your boyfriend.
I will say, too, that the second paragraph kind of sticks out where she says, I really loved him, and he says he really loved me, too. You're not really saying you love someone unless you're in a relationship with them. And if you love someone, you're probably not hooking up with other people, so I would say maybe he's lying.
I don't know. People just mess around with each other's heads, I find.
We clearly need more information on this.
Yeah.
I think the bottom line is you need to decide what is important to you and what your standards are for a relationship. And if you don't mind somebody who's going behind your back, then go back to him. But I don't trust that he's not going to do that again.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
No, I agree. Claudia, best thing would probably just give the same thing, ultimatum. You know, either we're going to be in a relationship and work towards something, or we're not.
Although I don't believe in the whole ultimatum thing either, but it sounds like something has to happen.
Why don't you believe in the ultimatum?
You can't trust him.
How often does a good relationship start off with an ultimatum?
Yeah, ultimatums are not good.
Well, it doesn't start off like this. I've been with my ex for 6 months.
I've been given the ultimatum thing before.
I think she just needs to have an honest conversation with him, and that is her form of ultimatum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you feel that you were cheated on and you know he cheated on an ex, you're going into this without any trust whatsoever, and that's not a great relationship.
What she needs to do is just clearly define their relationship. If they're boyfriend, girlfriend, and they both agree to understand that, and then he hooks up with someone else again, and that isn't defined in the relationship before, then that's when you know that you don't have to ever trust this guy again,
exactly.
In my opinion.
Now, I feel like it's almost too much of a gray area right now.
Right. So that's why, to Mark's point, communication, figure it out, set out the parameters of the relationship. And then hope for the best.
Emily says, I met a guy recently and we have so much in common. We even kissed a few times.
Wow.
After a few days of talking to him, he dropped the bomb that he has a 4-year-old son.
Oh.
He's essentially separated from him due to the state court system.
Hmm.
I know I'm nowhere near ready entering into that type of situation in a serious way. But my question is, would it be bad to hang out with him casually or should I just shut it down right now?
Hmm.
And is it bad for me to have this be a deal breaker?
It's not bad.
Well, what's the state court system?
That's a good, a whole bunch of information there that's missing.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So that would be my red flag.
Oh, like why? Because maybe he did something to deserve to be separated from his kid?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, maybe.
That's a bad
thing. Would be the red flag. The fact that he has a kid, not a deal breaker. I think it's important for someone that has a child to make sure that they get to know the person before they introduce them to their kid. And a kid should never be a deal breaker.
Well,
it also depends It also depends at what stage you are in your life.
Right.
If you're older, like in my, like now in my 30s, my pool of men are very different compared to when I was in my younger 20s. And in my younger 20s, I may not have thought that that's what I wanted a type of relationship to be. But the only red flag is really why state court system.
Yeah, what did he do that the state required he can't be near his son?
Right. If you're 21, 22, and you don't get involved with somebody with a kid, that's your prerogative. I don't think that makes you a bad person 100%. By any means.
Not at all.
We don't know your name, but it's fine. But also, I wouldn't hang out with him casually. I think I should just, if you want to date a single dad, go date a single dad. If you don't, but I wouldn't hang out with him casually and kind of see where it goes.
You think it's leading him on too much?
I think it's preparing everybody for heartbreak.
I agree.
It's all bad.
But if the chemistry's there,
then you should hang out with him not casually and as a relationship.
It sounds like she's finding a reason to hang out with him. Clearly she's drawn to him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got to accept the kid.
I mean, I've dated girls with kids in the past, full well knowing that I'm not ready to be a father anytime soon. There's less pressure knowing that it's not going to necessarily be your own kid, but you could be like a supplementary figure.
Did you break their hearts?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. It's not like I asked them afterwards. Hey, are you heartbroken? Okay, cool. Well, see you later.
You know if you break someone's heart.
Like, yeah, you would know if the girl's heartbroken.
It never got to the point of that. Okay. Like, it didn't progress that far. It was just casual dating.
Did it get to the point where you met the kid and hung out with the kid?
No. So I guess that is obviously a big step too, right?
Right, because then you could break the kid's heart too, and you don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
No. God, no.
I mean, I'm a kid at the end of the day, so.
Living in a van.
With shingles.
He doesn't want to shower.
All right, is that it?
We're done
with emails today?
Well, that's all we got for you.
All right, perfect. Well, always please send your emails in. That's our favorite part of the show. And a big thank you to 23andMe. Buy your health and ancestry service kit today at 23andMe.com/Dean. Big thank you to OpenFit. You can get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit, where you can lose up to 15 pounds in only 30 days when you text Dean, D-E-A-N, to 30 30 30. Dean, how's it feel to have all these codes be your name?
I love it. It's a real power trip, honestly.
As it well should be. Big thank you to the Bubbies for coming in. You can check out their new television show on JLTV at 8 p.m. Bubbies Know Best.
And I suck at dating at iHeartMedia.com.
Yes, that is the email address where you can keep sending those emails to. Thank you to Blake Hortzman. We're excited to see him back on The Bachelor tonight. And, of course, in Paradise This Summer. Mark, Easton, Amy, you guys are wonderful. Vanessa, you're beautiful as always. Dean.
Love you guys.
Thanks for having me on as a guest today, guys. I really appreciate it.
You're the best. Stop that. This is your podcast. So, hopefully. So, why don't you end it, Dean?
Anyways, this is another episode of Help I Suck at Dating. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to tune in next week because maybe I'll suck a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, cool.